Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, November 9th, 2010, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-host, Lavendar. Today is a milestone in Lavendar's life, having decided to bring one of her biggest secrets out of the vault, and we're both so grateful to have our Starseed listeners to share this moment. In just a few minutes, she'll be giving a quick reminder about her story so far. And then our dear friend Belva joins us this week with her segment called Belvalations, where she shares her vast knowledge about health. Afterwards, we welcome your comments or questions. Please be mindful of others who will also be waiting with questions. We'd like to thank Sierra for co-hosting in the chat room today, for those who can't call in with questions. For those who can, the call-in number is 917-889-8292, and press 1 if you have something to say. Otherwise, we'll just think you're listening. You can also listen on your computer at blogtalkradio.com/Starseed Radio Academy. Before I introduce Lavendar, I'd like to mention that if you register for free here at Blog Talk Radio and click the word follow at the top of our page, you'll get an email notice when our next show is coming. All of our past shows are available on demand at blogtalkradio.com/Starseed Radio Academy. Once you're on our page, notice at the bottom where it says Previous Episodes. Click there to access the older shows. If you're new to our show, you've missed a lot of chapters, so we highly recommend listening to all of them since they're interconnected with critical information for Starseed that you won't find elsewhere. Also, Starseed Radio Academy is now available on iTunes. You can download shows to go, and it's all free. It's a great way to catch up on chapters you may have missed when you're away from home, but please don't listen to our podcast while driving. If you haven't visited our main site yet, which is starseedhotline.com, we have a lot of vital information for Starseed in our vault of knowledge. The entire site is coded for Starseed activation. Try hovering your mouse over some images for special messages. On our headline news page, we have an archive of past teleconferences you can hear. And we also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com, and that's N-I-N-G.com. If you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. And now I'd like to welcome my co-host, my mentor, and my best friend, Lavendar.
Oh, thank you, Arielle. And I want to thank all the listeners and all the people that have sent emails talking about my story. I'm really, really quite grateful. I'd like to have just a few moments here to say this. I first released, you know, Crack Between the Worlds on September 18th, which talks about my long-held secret about my visitations to Giant Rock back in 1977. Then the next series after that was about the seedling, my early childhood leading up to my tragic wedding day when my fiancé died. The continuing story revolves around my search for Earth and cosmic truth and how I came to know and understand my rightful place in the scheme of things. From my adventures with ETs and celebrities to dangerous assignments, always testing the integrity of my soul records. This has been my quest, and I'm sharing it with the Starseed Radio Academy listeners as I go deeper into the bank vault every week to pull out the next segment to be released. This particular story that I'm sharing this week is probably one of the most difficult to share, as it caused so many decisions to be made concerning the activation and navigation of so much metaphysical training on the planet. This was the crossroads of decision-making for me to be asked to play on the global chessboard, which actually began really on this date, November 9th, 1981, which is the anniversary date to lay out the ET experiment that I became a part of. Every November, I can't help but think about the timing of Natalie Wood's death and how my presence on Catalina Island on November 29th has been part of an ET navigational system that has taken me beyond the limb. And with that, Ariel, you can start, you know, the recording of the next segment of the series Crack Between the Worlds, which I understand is a short chapter, and then we'll get to the second chapter, and there'll be two recordings that you'll put on the air tonight.
That's right. The first one is part two. It's a continuation from our last segment on Crack Between the Worlds, and this is called Galactic Demonstrations, part two.
I returned to Giant Rock many times after that mysterious February 7th, 1977 trip. If you haven't heard the long version of Crack Between the Worlds episode, maybe you need to go back and listen to it so it'll be in context with the rest of this story. At least, you know, I was down at Giant Rock maybe once a week for months. I was included in discussions about the Integraton. Then the government came and told George to stop allowing people to go inside. They actually had agents that stayed on top of a hill with binoculars monitoring George, Doris, and everyone that came to visit them. Everybody that showed up, well, they got on a list to be observed for later. I think that shutting down the Integraton was one of the reasons George decided to leave the planet. The people in the consciousness of 1977 couldn't accept what this machine was truly about. One of the things I remembered the most is the day George took me to Giant Rock and pointed at it and said, "You know, one day Giant Rock's going to crack, and when it does, you're going to have to release this information." And I said, "What information?" And at that point, something came over him, and that's when I got the information. I'll discuss more of that later, or you can go back and hear that in Crack Between the Worlds. Things that were so beyond my comprehension, the truth about walk-ins, time travel, rejuvenation, cloning, just all of it. It was almost like he was on a speed dial. Then he would see when I was overloading and we just walk for a while before continuing. I need to tell a story here, although it's out of order of things and events, but this is the place I need to tell it because it's very important to this story. I'll jump ahead a few years. In 1981, I was in direct contact with my spaceship Star of Bethlehem. Thurman Myers, the man I was with at the time, well, we left Las Vegas and we were on our way to New Mexico. I began hearing a communication from the ship. We were directed to stop and go by Sedona into Oak Creek Canyon. I was told to find a little cabin to rent because I needed a quiet place to write and work and continue these ET demonstrations. We were driving up and down this road looking for a place to rent when all of a sudden, in front of some cabins that were closed for the season, there stood George Van Tassel on the side of the road. He was just standing there grinning. Thurman saw him, and then I saw him, and I yelled, "Well, that's George! George Van Tassel, turn around, now!" He turned around, and of course George wasn't there anymore. But he had been standing in front of a sign of this place that said closed. I said, "This is the place, we're going to rent it." I think the name it was the Chipmunk Inn or something like that. Thurman said, "You're not going to rent this place. It's shut down." I told him that we had to find the owner and make a deal, which we did, and we rented the cabin for 3 months. We both had seen George, but what was so ironic about this is that it was 1981 and George had died in February of 78. During those months, I journaled many, many transmissions that I was receiving from the ship. What I came to find out from some of these galactic gems of wisdom is that since the very moment I was born, I've been monitored and I've been guided by the Star of Bethlehem, my ship. My whole life experience is and has been an experiment that I myself was part of planning before I was born. I was chosen for this experiment because of who I'd been and what I had become through my evolution. I simply had to walk the walk, talk the talk, and live right through it. And that's what I came to know. On New Year's Eve of 1978, Gina Bilodeau, Jeanette Browning, and I went to see a movie called The Turning Point with Shirley MacLaine and Anne Bancroft. I remembered seeing Shirley on the screen, and I felt like I knew her. It was like somebody was giving me signals about her. There was an extraordinary feeling I had, and after seeing her on screen, I started having flashes about her. These flashes were indications of her future metaphysical interest and concern about UFOs. The information that I was receiving was being directed from above. I was being prepared for the future of my association with her. Remember that she was part of the Rat Pack with Sinatra, as she was the female member. But I actually wouldn't get to meet her in person until later in the early 80s. I'd like to refer now to a time that happened in Oklahoma City in September of 78. I decided to have some rebirthing sessions with a lady named Polly Estep. I had gone to the bookstore and picked up a book about Nostradamus. And I was waiting for her to show up. I was sitting on her doorstep, and I was thumbing through this book. And all of a sudden, I had this experience. About this time, Pope Paul VI had died, and they had appointed a new pope, John Paul I. Sitting there, I just got tuned in, and I knew that this pope was going to be killed, and I got very agitated. I don't know if it had anything to do with Nostradamus or not, but when Polly showed up, I just couldn't have a session. I had to get in my car and just drive home. Within 2 days, Pope Paul I was dead. The official story of John Paul's sudden death was who served only 33 days as pope, was caused by, they say, a common heart attack. However, a degree of uncertainty accompanied this diagnosis because there was never an autopsy performed. The discrepancies in the Vatican account of the events surrounding John Paul's death, its inaccurate statements about who found the body, what he'd been reading, what he'd found in the vault, everything about it was suspicious. There were so many conspiracies going on at that time about the Vatican Bank and who owned the shares of money. Even fiction focused on the bizarre death of the Pope. The movie The Godfather Part 3 featured a major plot line depicting the Vatican Bank involved in organized crime, with various intrigues resulting in the assassination of a pope, openly named in the movie as John Paul I. And there's so many theories about the CIA assassination attempt due to John Paul I being perceived as trying to improve ties with the Soviet Union and his removal of several pro-American clergy. We'll probably never know for sure whether or not Pope John Paul I was killed, but I tend to believe the information that I was receiving from the ship at the time. Things seemed to be accelerating for me in 1978. I met Thurman Myers, my new man, who I'd be with for 10 years. I took him to Giant Rock to meet Doris. As I had mentioned earlier, George had died in February, and after that trip I became very sick. My colon was messed up with polyps, and I was burned out and tired. I was hardly working at my business anymore. I did have 3 clients who worked at the MGM Grand Hotel and Casino. I kept seeing a fire at the MGM Grand and people dying. I told my 3 clients that if they didn't change jobs, they could die in a fire. They didn't listen, and when the fire happened, they died. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. I quit. I was not doing readings anymore. You know, many years later, I was involved in a product that we all went to Las Vegas to try to get put together through a company called Beyond Sea, and I got to meet a man who had been in charge of the MGM, and if he had made certain decisions, that fire never would have happened. I actually got to work with him, and we talked about the fire, and I helped him with the transmutation of his guilt. So that was many years later. So back to my trip to Sarasota, Florida. That's where I went to recover from my burnout. Thurman went to Indonesia and left me there in Sarasota by myself. My mother came to stay with me while he was gone, and during her visit, I started having incredible pains in my stomach area. She called an ambulance, and I was rushed to the hospital where they thought that I had a kidney stone. I'd already been told, and not by doctors, by them, that I should not have sodium pentothal. When I tell the doctors that I couldn't have sodium pentothal, they ask me why. And I said, because I'm a UFO contactee. They thought I was a nutcase. They wheeled me into the operating room where they were going to extract what they thought was a kidney stone. Ironically, one of the nurses in the operating room with me was the sister of my hairdresser. She told me later that when they administered the anesthesia, and she didn't know whether it was pentothal or not, that my heart stopped. She said that they were about to put the defibrillator pad on me to revive me when a blue light filled the room and a voice said, "Don't touch her." They started backing away as bizarreness had entered the room and everyone fled to huddle in the hall to regroup. When they returned, my heart had started beating again, and they proceeded to remove something they couldn't identify, as it was not a kidney stone. I'm sure now that it was an implant of some kind. When I woke up in recovery, there were these three men in black at the foot of my bed asking me questions. I later found out that this doctor had had an affair with a woman involved in UFO phenomena who was trying to get $500,000 out of him. It started to make more sense why he was acting this way when he told my mother back in the room that I needed psychiatric help. The doctor wrote these prescriptions and handed them to the nurse to call in. She gave the paper back to my mother afterwards, so I got to keep them to see exactly what they were. When I started taking the pills, they wigged me out. They were actually making me crazy. I got into a fight with my mother, who left in tears and flew home. But when she got home, she got her medical book out, read up on these drugs, and called me. She told me to stop taking the stuff. She read that when you take these drugs together, they do create psychotic episodes and you can go crazy. She saved my life from this demon doctor who was trying to kill me, or at least make me literally crazy. In December of 1979, Thurman asked me where I wanted to go for my birthday. And I told him that I wanted to go to Aruba. We went to Aruba, where I enjoyed it very much. I would eventually live there for a while, but more on that later. By January of 1980, I was in Cripple Creek, Colorado, looking at an A-frame house that Thurman had bought for us. We still had the place in Sarasota, so I flew back and forth from Cripple Creek to Sarasota from time to time. I could only stay about 3 weeks at a time in Cripple Creek because of the altitude. I was in Sarasota when my father decided to come to visit. I was driving to the airport to pick him up in my Lincoln convertible. I was crossing the Sarasota Bridge when I saw a single cloud in the sky. About the time I saw the cloud, lightning came out of it and struck the bridge. It bounced off the bridge and hit me in the car. I was driving this Lincoln convertible with the top down. Anyway, I stopped the car and heard the man behind me slap on his brakes, and I heard the sound of cars running into each other, one after another. They didn't hit me, but I was sitting behind the wheel with my fingers clamped on the steering wheel. The man, who was behind me, ran up to my car, asked if I wanted to go to the hospital. And I said, "Oh no, I have to pick up my daddy from the airport. I have to see my daddy." I just gunned the car, speeded towards the airport, which was a couple of miles away. I remembered looking back in the rearview mirror, wondering what people were thinking and what were they going to tell the police when they arrived. I decided not to be there for any of it. When my dad got off the plane, he'd been drinking. I tried to explain to him what had happened to me, but he didn't care. He was totally unconcerned. All he wanted to know is if I had any girlfriends he could meet and to party with. Who was this man? I had never seen such behavior coming from him. I was glad to put him back on the plane after a week from Daddy from Hell. Thurman came back from Indonesia and he started treating me really bad. I wondered what I was doing to deserve this terrible treatment. To counteract the treatment that I was receiving from Thurman, I decided I was going to help him. By helping him, I would help myself and do the things that I needed to accomplish. Besides, I had the ship with me and my Galactic Secret Service. We went through several experiences where he saw the kind of galactic powers that were standing and walking with me. He really snapped one day when we got on a train in Albuquerque. I didn't want to get on the train. I felt like that something really bad was going to happen. But he made me get on it anyway. We went to the club car, and he started drinking. Thurman got into a fight with the bartender who had been on this train. trained for years. In fact, the bartender was on his way to Chicago, where he was actually retiring at the end of the trip. This was, of course, his last trip. Anyway, security had to come and put Thurman in our bunk, where I started undressing him. As I was taking his clothes off, I started hearing a voice that said, "In the wheels, in the wheels, in the wheels." I thought, my God, I've got to get off this train, and I'm just going to leave Thurman on it. I'm getting off. I was so disgusted with him. I asked the conductor where the next stop was, and he told me that it was Dodge City, Kansas. When the train stopped, I had my bags in my hand ready to depart. As I stepped off the train, I heard this voice say, "Get Thurman off the train. You can't leave him here." I said, "I don't want him." And a voice said, "Take him off the train." The voice kept yelling at me. So with the help of this energy, we dressed him and got him off the train. He was a very big man. So it was really, I don't know how I got him dressed and off the train. So there we were, standing at the station at midnight. Thurman was drunk, no cabs, no one around, and I didn't know where we were going to go. Then out of the blue, this man pulled up and asked if we needed a ride someplace, and I asked if he could take us to a motel. The man found us a motel, and we thanked him. I've often wondered who that man really was. The next morning when we got up, something just said, "Turn on that TV." And on the news was a story about the train that we'd been on crashing in Lawrence, Kansas, and killing all those people in the Pullman where we'd been sleeping. It was completely demolished. And the bartender, he was killed on his last shift. Thurman looked at me, and he snapped big time. I really didn't have much trouble with Thurman and his drinking after that. It was a turning point, because then, I guess, well, he felt like he owed his life to me. For 2 years after that, though, a galactic female, an extraterrestrial energy, came and worked with him through me. There was another episode where a man tried to come into our hotel room with a knife. We were down in the Cayman Islands at the time. When I stood up, the knife flew out of his hand and scared him so bad that he ran out of the room. Thurman was sitting there and asked, "How did I do that?" I told him I didn't do it, that the beings with me must have knocked the knife away. So this was just another example of the Galactic Secret Service. Here's another example of Thurman not wanting to listen. I told him that we were not going to get on this particular airplane. We were in Florida, I think at Miami Airport. And he said, "No, we're getting on this airplane." We argued back and forth, and as I refused to get on the flight, the argument, well, it just became a waste of breath and energy, because the plane got grounded. The pilot said that they had never seen anything like it. There was fog inside the windshield. All these strange things that happened were actually about training Thurman in stopping that Dark Lord crap that he was carrying with him. He was into power and control. "You'll do what I tell you to do, or else." Well, all that stopped. I was being monitored the whole time I was with Thurman because he could be dangerous with his "you'll do what I tell you" routine. He started calming down after several of these demonstrations, but it took some extreme examples to get him to pay attention. These demonstrations were so prolific that Thurman actually stopped drinking. He stayed sober the rest of the time that I was with him.
Well, that is the end of Galactic Demonstrations Part 2, and now we are going to move on to Natalie Wood, Catalina, 1981.
December 29th, 1984, at 5:05 p.m., Glorieta, New Mexico. Shirley MacLaine. Now, where do I begin? Our meeting, I guess, was destined to be. I had known that my path would not only cross Shirley's, but that somehow we would have many experiences together. For years, I'd been flashing about her, but nothing of any real significance. I'd smile with my brain when I'd read about her in the tabloids, but that was about it. My real knowing about Shirley started in Las Vegas, Nevada, somewhere between 1977 and 78. I'd pick up an article about her, and as I read it, I knew that we would come together with a meeting of the minds. Little did I know at the time that in the near future, it would be related to something that I would call War of the Minds. At that point of my life, I was living and working in Las Vegas. What a town. Whatever you wanted or even think that you wanted, you could have in 10 minutes. The town truly never shuts down. After spending 5 years there, I learned that the highest of souls and the lowest of souls were gathered there. Huge ET experiment. It seemed to be a place where great transmutations would happen, that were of accelerated evolution would take place in Las Vegas. As I already mentioned, in the summer of 75, I was one of 7 people who had an extraterrestrial experience out at Lake Mead. We watched aliens walk on the water. None of us were ever the same after that event. Our lives really changed drastically. I'd already had several ET contacts, but I can look back and see that this particular encounter seemed to set my feet on a path of great evolutionary experiences. As I've mentioned earlier, I was conducting counseling work by using astrological charts. I utilized my psychic abilities more than the science of astrology, which always kind of made other astrologers about half nuts. At that time, I knew about my double pineal, but on the other hand, I really didn't know or would comprehend to know for many years later what that really meant about how the ETs would come and go from my double pineal. The Lake Mead experience accelerated my abilities. It seemed that my sight, hearing, and all of my other senses were just amped up about 1,000-fold. People started coming to counseling at an accelerated rate. I didn't know it then, but I had an ET that came and worked with me every single day. Their work was handled on the QT because it wasn't time for them to make their everyday physical appearance in my life. I suppose that I was just too green or too emotionally crippled from all of my romantic adventures to handle extraterrestrials on an everyday basis. I suppose that I had to hang on to suffering a little while longer before they made their entrance to me. There is one real valuable lesson that I learned from my space brothers and sisters, and that is, they know what is happening to us, and they are matching it with cosmic timing the whole time that we're doing our little Earth dance. You know, people would come to me by word of mouth, and I was always booked. For 3 years, I had no set fee, only donations. But after I started working with more cosmic laws, I discovered that the flow of exchange is necessary to do the best job and also be free of karmic ties. I lived with the flow of abundance, but nothing that you would call extravagant. When I wanted to be extravagant, I would just visit some movie star friend or people with a lot of Leo planets. Money for the sake of money has never really meant much to me. I suppose that is why I have so little respect for it. I observed in my counseling sessions what part money played in people's lives, and I finally figured out that people played the money game because at the end of their life, they could count all their toys, and whoever had the most toys upon death won the game. I suppose that reasoning warped my sense of values and led me to belief that money can truly burn a hole in your pocket. And besides, whoever saw a hearse with a luggage rack on top? Okay, so, yet when I left my practice in Vegas, I left with a man who was financially secure from his father's oil trust fund. And by this time, I was physically ill, mentally exhausted, and spiritually drained. I had locked into heavy judgment, could see people's potential, tried to help them, only see some of them crash and burn. Truly burn. Judgment is really, I think, what made me sick. I can see that now. I had gained an enormous amount of weight, had polyps in my colon, and I couldn't go to the bathroom without an enema. So, for 3 years. So, when Thurman came into my life, I was ready to leave that life and pick up a new one. I had a celestial visitation from a female energy that asked me if I would help on an assignment of transmitting a person to a higher level of being. And I said yes before I really had time to evaluate what I have to do with, in such an assignment. The first 3 years were very difficult and trying to my soul. Thurman knew how to drink and act ugly and play with people's minds and emotions. He knew nothing of metaphysics or cosmic laws. This was not an easy assignment, especially with a mouth like mine, which was, you know, my mouth gets like a torn pocket. I would go to my ET female friend and beg to be relieved of this assignment, and she'd be sitting in my other pineal talking to me as one would speak on the telephone, and I would yell, "I quit," and she'd say, "Not now." She actually would sit on my head and would literally paralyze my tongue when she knew that I had taken all the abuse I could stand. If she hadn't been there 24 hours a day, I would have left in the first month of torture. She kept telling me that Thurman was a very high being who had lost his way through many incarnations in flesh. She wanted me to bring him to his awareness so that he would remember who he was and why he was here. If I could turn his life around and put his feet firmly on the path, then I too would benefit through exalted, multi-level experiences. She reminded me of my past history of giving up on projects just because I got bored or just couldn't see things to completion. She told me that if I could stay to the end of this project, the reason that I'm mentioning about all this about Thurman is because it's important to understand our relationship and our work and our pledge to the welfare of the planet. There have been many people come and go out of our lives in these last 6 years who have tried to get us apart for one reason or another, but they never seem to grasp or understand galactic pacts that are made with millions of souls hanging in the balance. Cosmic agreements are very serious, for they affect not only a root race that is vanishing, but a new root race that is now being prepared to come to Earth for the new age of reason. This all relates to other regions of space that are of a higher cosmic order. So needless to say that family, friends, etc. could have so little an influence upon such a cosmic project. Now as to the meeting of Shirley MacLaine. I must start with the months previous to our official meeting because it shows the integral workings of invisible forces that are at work that are trying to bring us together, while another force is trying to keep us apart. On November 1st, 1981, I was informed by galactic sources that a great wave of feminine energy was being brought to the planet. This energy would hit the cells residing in female bodies and strengthen it, thus causing some women to go overboard and lose their balance. Others would take the same energy and move through it and make it part of their lives forever. Not all women reacted the same to this energy. I remember feeling extremely charged and how difficult it was to close my eyes to even sleep that whole month of November. I can recall pulling my energies back from Thurman and from most male energies at the time. There was a few days that I'd awake thinking that men in general were the enemy. What was really happening was an alignment of energies in my own physical body that was to bring my male and female energies to some sort of balance. I think that this energy gets periodically active at different times of the year and cause some women to go just right off. With menopause, the pill, hormone imbalances, pollution, and sonic disturbance, who can really pinpoint these times unless one is in total balance and can home right in on these restructuring days for women? No medical person would ever step forward and agree with me as to what is happening to the women of the world. They'd be laughed at, right? I was told that I was to send quartz crystals to Cairo, Egypt, and they would go inside the pyramid to be charged with energies that would match this feminine energy shot that was being beamed to the planet. I was unable to go, but I sent Elizabeth Ellis, a beautiful star maiden, to be responsible for the crystals. From the moment I took the assignment about those crystals until the assignment was over, I was under heavy bombardment from dark forces not wanting these crystals to be charged with this feminine energy. One hassle after another occurred from November 1 to November 9, the day the crystals got on their way to Cairo. After I delivered the crystals to Elizabeth at the airport, I flew to Catalina Island, where we had rented a house for 3 months. I remembered crying most of the way. I was tired. I was suffering from psychic attack, frequency discernment, and physically and mentally exhausted. I was a wreck for 3 days. But after a brief rest, I continued my work doing transmissions from the spacecraft called the Star of Bethlehem, or some refer to it as TX-11. This is the same ship that helped during the time of the Essenes in Israel and was visible the night that Jesus was born of earthly flesh upon the planet. This same entity comes and goes now off the ship, but he goes now by another name, and some people know him as Sananda, and others give him other names for different times. And TX-11 is the new term given for the New Age of Reason. I wrote transmissions during the day, and at night I'd go to Cairo, Egypt, to check on the crystals that I had sent with Elizabeth. And it was during that period of time that I was trained by crystal masters as to what should be done with crystal power on the planet. You know, you just have to remember what happened with Atlantis to get a grip on what that responsibility level must have looked like. Because a great responsibility rests with anyone in charge of or in custody of certain kinds of crystals. Because of past misuse of them, entire civilizations have disappeared. I realized the seriousness of this crystal work and kept myself in balance for this special time in Cairo. So every night at 10 p.m., a spacecraft would bring me up, take me to Crystal School in Egypt. Now, it was during this period of time that I started flashing and thinking about Shirley MacLaine. Her face would come and go in my mind, and I'd read something about her in the trade papers or see an old movie of hers on TV. I was stimulated to walk down to the corner payphone and call an old girlfriend of mine, Jeanette Browning. I hadn't even spoken to her in 3 years, yet I remembered that she'd been among the ones who sat around the round table in my kitchen while ETs had been coming and going throughout the house, so I wondered who she really was. Anyway, I called and invited her over to see me at Catalina. She told me that she was working for Shirley MacLaine as her secretary. Actually, Jeanette was Shirley's assistant while Shirley only played in Vegas. She never really went anywhere else with her. I first met Jeanette when she was dating and working for Robert Goulet. She had been in love with him, and she had loved to be around movie stars. She didn't want to be a star. She just wanted to walk in their shadows, so to speak. After I hung up the phone, a series of things started to happen. I felt this buzzing in my head. Time was distorted, and I was so hungry I could eat into tomorrow. I realized that the activation of the feminine energy was being activated within me, and that Shirley's energy some way, somehow, extended to me at Catalina, but I couldn't figure it out. I just shrugged it off as something weird and returned home to continue the transmissions. I had asked Jeanette to come over in about a week, as then I'd be through with my nightly visits to Cairo. But you know what? The very next day, Jeanette showed up unexpectedly with a very handsome man who later I first named the first lieutenant of the Prince of Darkness. When he walked through the door, my hair stood on end. He was gracious, friendly, but I could detect a frequency operating that really spelled out who he was. I couldn't tell Jeanette, as she was so naive in such matters. You know, she had the discernment of a worker ant, so I had to keep to myself what I was picking up on her friend. They invited me to dinner that night, and it was at dinner that I started really being tested. By whose forces? Well, just figure it out. It was not important to mention all the tests. The important thing is that I passed it. Because at 9:30, I promptly stood up, excused myself, and said that I had an important meeting that I had to attend. One of them wouldn't let me alone and kept insisting I stay and return with him to his boat. I kept walking and told him that I had an important meeting in Cairo. He said, "Egypt?" I said, "Yes." He called me crazy or some insane term and let me be. What this yo-yo didn't understand was that I really would be in Cairo, Egypt, by 10:05 and wouldn't return until 7 a.m. the next morning. I felt that all that had happened had been designed for me to see where my weaknesses and strengths were at that time. The thing that now stands out in my mind is that the date of this was Pleiadian lineup, November 17th, 18th, and 19th, the galactic days of activation that I have come to know so well. So no wonder I was being tested by the first lieutenant of the Prince of Darkness. By the next morning, I knew that I had passed the test. Yet, I knew that there would be other tests to see if I would remain true to the quest. A week later, around Thanksgiving, Thurman came to Los Angeles, and we got a room at the Hacienda Hotel, and it was close to the Los Angeles airport, and Elizabeth would be arriving back with the crystals at 2:30 a.m., the day before Thanksgiving, 1981. We picked her up, got the crystals, went back to the hotel. I wanted to just stay up and catch the helicopter back to Catalina so that we could have Thanksgiving at our house there. Besides, on Channel 5, they were having a Twilight Zone day from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. reruns of Rod Serling's stories. I really wanted to see that. Thurman said that he felt that we should stay at the hotel and not take the helicopter that morning. I grumbled, but agreed. At 8:30 a.m. that very morning, that helicopter crashed on its way to Catalina, dumping its passengers in the ocean. No one was killed. So, Thurman was right about that one. When I look back at when things started going wacky, it was when Elizabeth brought the crystals back to me from Cairo. It seemed that there were forces that followed those crystals, or forces just hovering and monitoring what was going to happen with the crystals. All I know was that some kind of war had been declared on me personally, and it was because of my agreement to take responsibility for the crystals and their subsequent energies. When we returned to Catalina, I felt a feeling of doom approaching. I couldn't put my finger on it, but I felt like crying 5 or 6 times a day. This went on for 3 days. On November 29th, my galactic female friend who'd been living in my other pineal decided to bid me farewell. She had been my constant companion for 3 years. What was I ever going to do without her? She explained to me that she had to leave my energy field and that I needed a long rest. She had done what she could with Thurman through me. But she also knew that if she stayed, my nerves would burn out and I could possibly die. This news shook me to my foundation. What was I ever going to do without her? She'd become a great part of me. Her records were now part of my records and vice versa. We'd made such a good team that the thought of such a drastic separation was devastating, to say the least. So, on November 29th, she explained that she'd be leaving in a couple of days. After the heavy transmission, she suggested that we take a walk to town. About 4 p.m., we walked down to get a newspaper. Everyone was talking about the death of Natalie Wood, the actress. I was stunned, numb. I couldn't believe my ears. My solar plexus started jumping. Tears came to my eyes. The news of her drowning was so shocking that I couldn't get my bearings. We walked back to the house, and I started washing dishes. I had to do something. I was crying and washing, crying and washing. I knew that something had gone wrong, for she was slated to be one of the beings with walk-in energies to come forth and help the planet by stepping forward and helping the people. I'd been told in one of the transmissions that I was supposed to meet her, and that we had a lot of work to do together. I was from the same genetic cloning operation, and she was a part of me. I was devastated. What had gone wrong? I looked out my window and asked, "Is it time for me to leave the island?" At that moment, a big, big iced tea glass flew off the draining board, landed on the floor without breaking. In fact, it jumped off, and just before it got to the floor, it slowed down so it wouldn't break. I knew this was the signal to get the hell out of Dodge. Remember Dodge City and the train? Well, this was that moment. So the next morning, we started making plans to shut up the house. I'd started having pains in my bladder. My nerves seemed shot, and in 2 hours, I was bleeding. I felt the sharp pain of a kidney stone, and I knew that feeling from 3 years before. I just now remembered that my galactic female friend arrived 1 month after my kidney stone operation in Florida. And now that she had left, I was experiencing another kidney stone. I wonder what this connection was. I had one more brief transmission about Natalie, explaining that she had lost her balance of reasoning and was an easy target for the dark forces that were monitoring her. I suffered emotional pain right along with her friends and family. My suffering was from another point of view. I knew who she really was, her potential, and what her assignment would be in helping to awaken the people. She would have gone down in Earth history as a woman who helped transmute millions out of spiritual darkness. She was a star maiden of galactic origin. She was a star from whence she came. And now she'd only be a memory of a famous movie star of Earth. What a loss. I suppose that this was my first real jolt about discernment. I knew that she had lost hers completely. A few years later, I discovered that there are certain types of people who have a genetic code of activation and that they have similar characteristics, like Natalie Wood, Elizabeth Taylor, Joan Collins, Suzanne Plachette, Elizabeth Ashley, etc., all have this same characteristic, and some have corresponding missions. And because of my coding, I did belong to this group. There are others connected to this mission who are not famous, but that doesn't lessen their importance on the planet. I realized that I had to get off of Catalina Island, and fast. I felt energies that were disruptive and alarming and that were entering my house. This was nuts. So, there was only one seat on the seaplane, so Thurman decided to take the boat. Every time I took a step, I was in pain. I waved to him as he went off on the boat. I called Gina Bilodeau, another star maiden trying to be an actress, movie star, to come pick me up, but she had an important meeting with an agent who hopefully would make her famous. I couldn't believe where her priorities were at that moment. Didn't she understand that I was bleeding and that I could be dying? She did, though, find someone else to pick me up. The whole episode was shocking. I was watching Thurman on the boat, but something made me turn around and see my luggage on top of a shuttle bus, and I yelled, "Where are you taking my luggage?" And it seemed that the seaplane had been canceled at the last moment, and everyone had boarded the bus to ride 20 miles up to the landing strip. I climbed aboard, took my seat, and decided that I'd use my mind to stop the kidney stone from moving. I succeeded and turned around and looked out the window. I saw the face of another star maiden friend of mine, Chris Griscom. I remembered her telling me how she had given birth to her baby alone, but with no help. And at that moment, I understood her dilemma of pain and being alone. I knew that if she could do it, that I could do it. And sure enough, I stopped that stone right in its track, and also the pain. It seemed to take forever to get to the landing strip. When we got there, the pilot, who looked like a replica of Alan Ladd with a cigar in his mouth, told me that he had had the seaplane on the runway when a voice spoke to him and said, "Turn the plane around. It will never make it back." So with that, he turned the plane around and picked up the land plane. After he said that, I climbed on board, looked out the window, and then I saw Shirley MacLaine's face. It was then that I heard my inner voice say, "Oh, Shirley, Natalie's gone. It's now up to you to help the people on the planet." Well, where did that come from? I couldn't imagine why I would say such a thing. I hadn't even met Shirley yet, but something deep inside of me seemed to know. I did not know it then, But Warren Beatty, Shirley's brother, had been deeply in love with Natalie and was at that moment in deep sorrow and depression because of her untimely death. I was so relieved to arrive safely at Long Beach Airport. Thurman and I drove to LAX and flew directly to Las Vegas, where my best friend, Belva Bloomer, lived. She, as of this writing of this, wrote fan letters for Shirley up at Cripple Creek, Colorado. I knew in my heart that if I could get to my friend with her healing abilities, that we together could bust the kidney stones, and then I'd pass them. We made quite a team. She would hold the beam, and then I would shoot and then try to pass them in the urine. And this went on for 5 or 6 days. I have never experienced so much pain. My nerves were raw. Natalie was dead. And where was my galactic female buddy? Gone. My personal world had collapsed, and I couldn't get a handle on what was really happening to me. Jeanette Browning, Shirley's secretary, asked me to come to her house to get well. I wasn't in a position to make many sound decisions, so I said yes. I stayed there from December 4th to the 16th. Jeanette had transiting Neptune on her natal sun, which kept her in the twilight zone most of the time. She couldn't turn around that she wasn't making some unwise decision, and looking back on those days, I felt kind of sorry for her. But later, I discovered that enemies come in many disguises. On one particular day, Thurman decided to show up and give me a gigantic healing with two giant crystals. Jeanette came home early to help. She had had several drinks and was sitting at my feet holding the point when the doorbell rang. It was Flowers from the one she had been with in Catalina, the first lieutenant of the Prince of Darkness. She set them on the table downstairs, which is directly under my bed. There was an energy exchange set up, but I don't know to this day how to describe it with any clarity. But the energies coming from the crystals had aligned them with something that was killing me and not making me well. I knew it in the minute it happened, but I was too sick to know what to do. But I never will forget it. Never. I also realized that Thurman was playing the role of half-friend, half-villain. He should have been on top of the situation, but his ego got in the way and out of control, and he had absolutely no discernment. I knew that the energy trying to kill me also knew what my mission was to perform and simply did not want me to succeed. With naive Jeanette, and then Thurman playing acting his new role as God, I knew that I had to get out of there and fast. I wasn't thinking too well, but at least I knew that if I stayed that I might die. I know this sounds like I was filled with fear, but I was dealing with energies that were not of this world, and the test was too much to take because of my physical problem. Also around that time, I remember calling Chris Griscom. Thurman flew her there to Las Vegas. She worked on me, and I remembered her bringing some amethyst crystals and putting it in a glass of water, putting it in the sun, and all the purple left the amethyst. I drank the water, and somehow I was able to get my next energy up to where I could literally drive out of Las Vegas. I had Thurman drive me to Flagstaff, Arizona, where we had another house. I had 104 temperature for several days, and during my fever, I saw other dimensions and had many unusual visions. I encountered a being that reminded me, well, of the Ayatollah Khomeini, and I think it was him because I actually saw him later when he did leave the planet. It was the same guy. And others that looked like his assistants. Dark Star Lords were beaming energy constantly at me. I couldn't believe it. During this period of time, I talked to Jeanette, who wanted me to talk to Cha-Cha, and he'd been with Shirley for 2 or 3 years, training her in metaphysical matters. She called him David in her Out of the Book series, which is really a composite of 2 or 3 others who came to help her. And at that time, Cha-Cha was living off of Shirley's charity, so he was quite protective of any new people who would come into her life. He was doing drugs, drinking quite heavily. He'd had experiences with extraterrestrial beings, and he just couldn't function with ordinary humans. He had been with a female cosmonaut. She activated into him a lot of advanced knowledge, made love with him, and it spoiled him so much that he could never be satisfied by an Earth woman. He was a casualty of great spiritual indigestion. But now that I look back on it, I'm sure there was a runner, also from Ramsa, that was slowly but surely driving him away from Shirley and out of her life. Ramsa, well, this was his M.O. I told Cha-Cha that I had a screenplay to show him, hoping he would read it, and if he liked it, pass it on to Shirley. I had written a screenplay called It's Happened Again, the story of two souls out of body. They fall in love, then reincarnate back into body with the help from a spacecraft, a script that I heard from beginning to end in 45 minutes at Mount Charleston, Nevada, years before. In between training Thurman and cosmic laws and doing transmission, I developed the screenplay over 2.5 year period. I had a lot of help by celestial beings creating the screenplay, so I just assumed that everyone would welcome it with open arms. Boy, was I wrong about that. I was rejected from every corner of the film industry. So I felt it'd be proper to put it in Shirley's path in case she saw the potential of its birth on the screen. All this time, as Cha-Cha was reading the screenplay, I had dark star-lords hovering over my bed. Was this some old past karmic debt playing out? Who were these energies trying to kill me? And if they kill me, then what? Then I didn't know or understand, but as the years passed with many more experiences and similar type of energies, I know that they were engaged by higher forces to test me, not to kill me. I knew I had a mission, and I knew that nothing, absolutely nothing, was going to stop me.
Well, Lavendar, I know there's a lot more to this story, which we're going to be continuing with in the weeks to come. But I was closing my eyes, and I could just see everything happening. We're glad that you're still here.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's been a galactic ride for sure.
I would like to mention, I didn't do it at the beginning of the show, that when were the years that you wrote your e-books? Was that part of this part this time, or
no? We're not there yet.
We're not there yet.
No.
Okay. Well, the two e-books that you did, they were books then, but they're e-books now, is called 50 Questions and Answers, and that's a transmission, one of the transmissions that you had, that you receive, and the other one is Quartz Crystals, Celestial Point of View. And was any of the information, when you were being trained going to Cairo every night, some of the information, the crystal training that you received, is that included in your book, or is this other starseed information for crystals?
No, the training I had in Cairo, I've never released that information. No, that was separate.
Okay, so this was yet another transmission about crystals that you wrote about.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay.
Right.
Well, I think we should introduce Belva. I see that she's online here.
Okay.
Are we ready for that? Do you have some comments to make? We're going to be opening the lines for questions in a little bit here, so hang with us. Is there anything you want to preface before I bring Belva on?
That Belva has been my dear, dear friend, and she's been someone that's been a witness to almost everything that's happened. And in fact, she's my only living witness to some of the things that I just spoke about. The rest of the people are gone off the planet now. So I'm really honored and thrilled that Belva has decided to join us tonight, and that she has a special, you know, revelation from our friend Belva.
Well, let's get to it. Hello, Belva.
Hello, can you hear me?
I sure can. I sure can. I just wanted to say hi, and do you have anything you want to say before I start your Belvelation?
I was walking with her every step of the way because I was always there while she was sick. Oh, and all the things were happening, and with Shirley, we met Shirley. Vernon, she broke a nail, and we went. That's how it all started with Shirley. So it was quite an experience. The whole thing was just amazing to think that this many things can happen to one person. But I was always around in the middle of everything. And so we have a lot more exciting things to say. She'll tell you more than on the next one because she hasn't even covered the trip to Egypt. That'll be fantastic.
Right, right. Well, we have a lot in store for our listeners, and I'm going to start your Belvelation now. Each week, Belva joins us and shares her vast knowledge about health issues and concerns, and she's also available to help people individually, privately, with any health questions that you may have, and you can find her page on our site, starseedhotline.com. And now we are moving on to this week's Belvelation.
And now I'd like to introduce my friend Belva Bloomer, who has a Belvelation for us. Belva, what are we going to talk about today?
Today I will start a class about cancer, candida, and the causes of many of our health problems. And I will give you some of the history.
Good. Let's hear it.
Candida has been around as a yeast mold germ since the introduction of penicillin in the 1930s. My mother was a nurse, naturopath, working in a large hospital in Dallas, Texas. I was a small child, and she came home very concerned that this penicillin was made from moldy bread. She said to me, "If I fed moldy bread to a chicken, it would be dead in a week. What will it do to the human body?" She understood that the mold would attack the organ that needed treatment, cause a weak, rotten spot so that the drugs could enter the organ faster, making cures now possible for treating many of the infectious sexual diseases that had resisted treatment after World War II when the soldiers returned from foreign countries with strange sexual diseases. However, the mold would continue its destructive path through the bloodstream and the lymphatic system of the body. She said, "Certainly, if they are smart enough to invent this application, they will find a way to stop the action of the mold." As I became a teenager, penicillin was used extensively for every small scrape, the miracle drug of our century. There was a huge growth in vaginal infections, so the gynecological specialist opened new offices, and this was a very profitable business. And the family doctors were not so popular anymore. I worked for an insurance company, and we had a meeting, and hospitalization was discussed as a new way of making the company more money. When they discovered a way to enter the cost into the employer's expense of doing business, the insurance company loved every minute of it and built a huge new skyscraper building. All of this happened in the 1940s, and my mother was still waiting for doctors to stop the use of mold. So she was very excited when they announced the changes, saying that so many people were allergic to penicillin that they were changing the formula, and they called it antibiotics. But the mold was still there. And now we had new oncologists, chemotherapy, radiation, and cancer clinics. Everyone was making huge money. New drugs were prescribed, new surgeries. Everyone had to have hospitalization. There were new medical schools and even new morticians. Races for the cure brought in millions, and not one famous person or doctor ever mentioned stopping the cause of cancer. The cause of cancer. They only treat the effect, the cure, after you've spent all your money and been to the hospital and had surgery, then they want to cure you. So most of the side effects of prescribed drugs, any prescribed drugs, say, can cause an infection. That tells you there is a mold base. And even that is found in over-the-counter drugs that you get at Walgreens or any drugstore. So now it is up to the individual to pay attention, to study, to learn, and to read side effects to educate themselves and their children as to the dangers of mold in the body. When you go to the grocery store, it only takes one day or two to destroy a berry. One strawberry in a box with mold on it, and they are all gone quickly. We have a habit of cutting off the parts of melons with mold and then eating the rest. Remember, the liquid in the veins of the fruit is like our lymphatic system. It runs through the entire melon or fruit or the human body. So we all need to learn about candida. That is the mold that craves white sugar, white flour, fast food, and diet pop. These things bring obesity into our family. So the next time I do a valvulation, I will speak more about candida, how to eliminate it from our lives in my very next valvulation. Just remember that when you see mold on something, you can cut it off, but the only way you can destroy the mold is to cook it. So if it's something you really want to save, like your berries, make jam. That'll kill the mold and you won't be getting that in your body. So remember valva, and we will have another valvulation next week. Thanks a lot. Bye, and good health with you always. This is Belva.
Well, thank you, Belva. And do you happen to know the website that shows all the different over-the-counter drugs that have fungus or mold that they put in it? Did you send that to me one time? Do you know where that is?
There's a book out called the PDR, Physician's Desk Reference Book. That's what I use.
And it's in there. Okay.
And
all right.
You can look up the name of any prescribed drug. Of course, they prescribe drugs every day. So it's a continual process. But you can check the drug. You can look at the drug, the name of the drug, and enter that onto your computer, and you can see the side effects.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much, Belva. And that's today's Belvulation. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Belva. We appreciate all the time that it's taken you all of your life to gather a lot of knowledge that you have through firsthand experience. And so your mission is really one of health, and we appreciate your contribution to making our starseed and our general public healthier.
As long as they're aware, that's the most important thing. They just need to be aware.
Well, that's right. They say if awareness is the only way to transcend, because you can't change something if you don't acknowledge it.
Right.
Right. So we have a question, I think, from the chat room. Can we move on to that, Lavendar?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. Hello, Sierra. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, I apologize. I'm okay. I'm here.
Okay.
Okay, gotcha. Yes, we do have several questions from the chat room today.
Okay.
Is Belva still available?
Yes,
do we want? Okay, perfect. Okay, Belva, one of the questions is blue cheese one of the safe or unsafe foods because of the mold?
The blue part that you see is mold. So, I mean,
it would not be a safe food then.
That's one that shows. It shows you that it's there. So we just have to keep our eyes open and pay attention and think.
Yeah, so blue cheese is blatantly mold. Other mold.
And you could cook with it because that kills the mold. But you have mold in your shower. You have mold. There's mold everywhere now. Even the wild birds have mold. When I had poodles, and my poodles all got sick because the wild birds lived in a tree outside of my front yard, and the poodles would go out and they would get the bird poop on their feet, and they'd lick their feet. And so I had to learn about dogs and how they get sick with mold just as much as any other living thing.
So, no on the blue cheese, unless you cook it.
Great.
It's just
great.
Something to say, look at this, look at me, I have mold, look. And so you have to just remember not to eat mold unless you cook it. If you cook it, then the mold is killed.
Got it. And then the next question, thank you, Belva, is we have a listener who had penicillin as a child, and I believe she battled with candida. She wants to know if she had candida as a child and had penicillin. I'm unclear about that particular part, but wants to know if it stays in the body. Like if you have penicillin as a child,
If you have a child, your child has your blood. So it's in your blood and in your lymphatic system. So you have to
detox.
Well,
how does one get rid of it then?
Well, there are several ways, and I usually do a saliva test and tell you a particular way that's best for you as a person. But there are things that you can buy. Hannah Kroger has several bottles that you order, and it's a candida kit. Or you can go to the health food store and get, it's called Candida Cleanse, and it's by Rainbow Light. And you just follow the directions on the bottle. It takes about 3 weeks. But you also then have to pay attention to your diet and stay away from things that have been bleached, like white sugar, white flour, things like that, because you crave these things. The candida, the mold, loves all of those white things, so that I put people on a diet for like a month while we are killing the candida. And it's a process, but it really makes a difference, and you see such a difference in your life after that month is over. It's wonderful.
Thank you so much, Belva. One more question for you.
Okay.
Do you have any thoughts on foods that could remove depression and anxiety or aid in someone's process around depression and anxiety, or is it individualized per person?
Well, to me, the majority of prescriptions seem, when they say you can have an allergic reaction or you can have some kind of a rash or something like that, and that's telling you that it has mold in it. And so when you have mold in your body, it goes to various organs, every organ. Some of your organs are immune and they fight it off. But it can go to your brain. I worked with an autistic boy who was, his mother was on heavy drugs when she was pregnant with him. And she was on cocaine, heroin, and all sorts of drugs. And he was born an addict. And he was in a hospital for until he was 8 years old. And he took 12 drugs. And he was adopted. And this lady asked me what could she do. And I told her we would have to detox him. And that's what we did. And now he's 14. He's on the honor roll. He's been, and he couldn't see well. He could only see the paper, and the first two letters of his name would go on the paper, and the rest would go on the desk. So he couldn't see well, and now his eyes are all right, and he's on the honor roll, and he's been on the honor roll since he was 9 years old.
So, Belva, are you saying that mold can be responsible for depression?
Of course, because it affects your brain. It affects how you think about everything. You have to think of if your brain has rotten spots in it, then you don't have the ability to make good decisions. You don't have the ability to fight off any kind of depression because you have, like, constant, like, fear. All kinds of things happen when you have dangers to your body in various stages. Because, like, a mother, say your grandmother or great-grandmother took penicillin, and then she had your grandmother, and then that grandmother had a baby, and that was your mother, and you go on and on and on, and it runs in the family from then on. And people have athlete's foot, they have jock itch, they have all kinds of things, and all that is candida.
Well, barring the fact that, you know, if you don't have mold, if you haven't been exposed to penicillin, I personally can tell you that silica can turn depression around.
Yes.
And certainly, in my own experience, sometimes if I forget to take it, you know, and I start feeling that listlessness, and you know, if the motto of your life is what's the use or who cares or I don't wanna, try some
well,
silica.
Well, silica does help, yeah. But you see,
it doesn't. You know,
it comes
and if you
back.
That,
you have to remember it. The only reason it comes back is because you have the mold still growing, and the silica stops the action while you're taking it. But you want something that's going to stop it permanently.
Right, right.
And so if you got rid of the mold and then took your silica, you'd be so surprised at how much better. Because you wouldn't have it anymore. It wouldn't come back when you miss taking your silica, see?
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
well,
that's... That's okay. It's just little things that we have to pay attention to, and we have to remember that it's very contagious. It's in the liquid in your mouth. It's in the sperm. It's in the vaginal. It is in your body, and every person that has anything to do with you also has it. And that's the biggest problem, is because it's very, I guess the only word I can say is contagious, because people that have, for instance, a dog that has a lot of mange, which is a candida problem, a problem like just the same as humans have it. And if the dog sleeps on the couch and then you sit on the couch, the next thing you know, you've got athlete's foot, or you've got an infection on your toe or something. And it's the same way in an if you go to a gym and you walk in puddles of water with someone who has athlete's foot and you pick it up. It's very contagious.
Easily transferable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sierra, do we have any other questions from the chat room?
Yes, we do, but it's for Lavendar. Should we
okay,
move on to that?
She's on the air, too.
Perfect. Okay, so in what you were talking about earlier, Lavendar, there came a question about the dark forces. How does one determine a dark force, enemy that's in many disguises? You had mentioned something about discernment, but can you say more about that in regards to the dark forces?
You know, dark forces comes in all kinds of disguises. That, you know, after all these years, I keep it really simple now. You'll just know them by the fruits they bear. You know, when they bring you thorns, you know it, and when they bring you flowers, you know it. And it has to be on a consistent basis. It's not about what they say, it's about what they do. And once you start recognizing, you know, the different kinds of energies, you know, familiarize yourself with the different kinds of energies that play on the planet. There's so many different kinds, you know, all kinds of polarity dances, all kinds of ET experiments that have gone awry, and bloodlines that are mixed. I mean, it really takes kind of a microscope approach at times to really get down to how it all functions. But I keep it really simple now. I just know them by the fruits they bear. End of story.
That has helped me a lot, because I know I asked that same question almost 20 years ago. And that's what you said. You will know them by the fruits they bear. And even regardless of what they say or, you know, but they have a really good heart. It's not about that. It's what? How do they affect your life? Do they empower you or do they cancel you?
Yeah, it's real simple.
Yeah. And also,
perfect.
How about that? Remember what you said, Lavendar, about asking three times?
If you power up, you know, someday after your meditation or after a bath or whatever, and you just get very strong within yourself, you just ask three times your guidance system to show you the truth of the matter. You know, truth is your protection, but you have to reach for it. You can't wait for it. You can't go and say, okay, if I'm worthy enough, maybe it'll come to me. No, you simply have to reach out and demand the truth about anything.
And then be
great.
Ready for it.
And then be ready for it.
And then be ready
it.
For it, because it may not be what you're hoping for or wanting.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Okay, great. There is one more question that just came through the chat room. Could either Lavendar or Ariel speak again about why starseeds should be taking silica?
Well, let me, I mean, it's kind of simple. There are crystals in your blood, in everybody's blood. And it's these blank crystals that are imprinted the moment you're born. And also there's crystals in your DNA that carry the programs and the coding and the, there's a word I'm searching for, but... You have crystal in your body and in your genetics, and it needs to communicate with your high command, your headquarters, and it is the communication tool. So, besides the fact that it's really good for your nails and your hair, and it helps with depression, and you need it to absorb calcium in your bones, and actually. Our bone structure is being converted to a silica base over carbon base. If you don't have enough silica, it's like your cell phone running out of batteries. You can't call home. And that's the biggest reason, besides all the regular biological health type things, is that you're sitting in front of computers, you're bombarded with electromagnetic radiation every day, whether or not you have a cell phone. Because it's everywhere. Wi-Fi, everything is constantly, and it just leaches the silica out of your body. So you're feeling lost and isolated and cut off and disconnected. Try taking silica and see if that doesn't change, because you have to have adequate amounts. And if you have, or maybe you haven't read Lavendar's 50 questions, when that was brought up, that you have to have, that the plan was designed, when Starseed, the whole Starseed thing was designed, it was decided that they would require extra silica to facilitate the connection. So, I mean, if you put it this way, if you had a small child and you were going to send him out in the woods, would you do it without sending a phone with him or some kind of communication? No. You'd make sure that you had ways to contact him or her. So that's why we need silica. Hope that answers the question.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much. I believe that's all the questions from the chat room tonight.
Okay. We thank you so much, Sierra. And we appreciate the people in the chat room coming on. And if you have a question that you think of after the show, you can always go to our forum, starseedhotline.ning.com, and post your question there. So we are going to move on. We have some other callers. And I'll put you back on hold, Sierra. If you want to flash me again, I'll be here. Okay. Lavendar, do you have anything you want to add?
Well, I would like to say that the common denominator between all planets in the several systems is quartz crystal, because they use it for communication. Communication, period. And that's communication for the cells in your body, the flora, the fauna, all the different experiments. Silica is a huge requirement everywhere.
So if you don't have the silica, then you're basically locked out.
Right. And if you're burned out through the kind of technologies that are being beamed at us now, it's like you really have to shore up on your silica.
Okay. Well, we're going to keep driving that car until it gets home, okay?
At the health food stores, the homeopathic little tablet you put under your tongue that just dissolve, I take them of a morning. I take about 5 in the morning and 5 at night and sometimes during the day, and I just know that I just need it. So and they're very inexpensive. Of course, when the news gets out how powerful silica is, watch the price go up.
Yeah. Well, I had someone ask me that today about what brand I would recommend, and I know that any silica is better than no silica.
That's true.
So get what's available. We are evaluating a couple of new forms or brands of silica. We haven't concluded anything yet, but we'll let you know when we do. For right now, there's a link on our site in the health section for a liquid silica, and it's just a link. It takes you to their site, and you deal with them. And also, I had tried a tablet called Tricasil, which I'm really loving it. It's just the minute I put it in my mouth, my mouth said yes. Okay. So use your intuition when you're choosing a brand. Just hold it in your hand and let your body tell you which one it likes the best, because one brand may not be right for everybody. Some people might need a different form or liquid or tablet or something. But the important thing is that you get some.
Right.
Okay. Are you ready for questions, Lavendar?
I am. Yes, I am.
Okay. And Ms. Belva, I'm going to put you back on mute, and if we have a question, I'll bring you back on, but just to keep the background noise down. Okay?
All right.
Okay. Stay with us. We're going to move on to our next caller from the 804 area code. 804, wow. you're on the air. Do you have a question?
Well, look, lucky me.
Yeah, you came up first in line.
Yeah, this is excuse me, Stan Soulfinder. I'm in Virginia.
Hello,
and really enjoying the show here. Sorry about my voice. I am recovering from a sinus infection. Just went to the doc in the box on Sunday and loaded up with a bunch of antibiotics to knock this out. And it's very timely or whatever that I tuned in tonight. I was wondering, you know, I did listen to everything that Velva was talking about, but I just wondered if there's, since I'm here in Virginia and y'all are out there somewhere, I can't really visit her, if there's some general things I can do to once I get through this health-wise that I can do or take to get me kind of cleansed or back to normal or get all this stuff out of my system. I am just started taking silica. That's one good thing. And
that's very good.
So there you go. I guess that's my question.
Okay. Well, Velva, you're back live.
Okay, I'm back.
Is there something that Stan can do where he is in Virginia?
Well, the thing that I said before. If he would, the antibiotics, remember, they didn't change anything. They just changed the name.
Right.
So it's just like penicillin was, except, so you're still getting mold.
Right.
With antibiotics. And I thought when that came out and they said anti in front of it, I thought, well, that's a wonderful thing because God is coming into this and telling us this is anti and we shouldn't be taking it. But it didn't work that way because everybody thought that penicillin was causing allergies and they changed the name, but they really didn't change the formula. So,
well, the question was, in order to get
rid
of
he could do the Candida Cleanse by Rainbow Light, and you could get that at any health food store or on the web. You can go on and order, or you can go to Hannah Kroger. It's called Kroger Herbs, and they have a unit, a box that they send you with about four or five things that you can take to get rid of all sorts of infection and things like that. It's called a Candida Kit. But
right.
The one that is the easiest is Rainbow Light Candida Cleanse, and you take that and then you cut out your milk products because they give things to cows these days that are in the milk that causes the cows to have all kinds of drugs and things like this to produce more milk and have larger udders and things like that.
Well, that's conventional milk. You can get raw organic milk.
And you can get almond milk. That's what I use.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's soy milk, almond milk. We just have to pay attention and not and go off of everything that's white while you're taking this. It has many, many good things in it, and it does help you a lot. And along with your silica, take the silica with it.
Right.
And can I ask you, Stan, are you still having the infection?
It's just about over with now.
But
I was wondering, you know, after the the Candida Cleanse, are there some foods, instead of avoiding, but foods that to make sure I'm taking in that help with this whole scene of producing a healthy body instead of, you know, something that's got bacteria in it, mold in it?
Usually what I do is I do a saliva test.
Right.
And you send your saliva to me, and I do a test on it. And then I tell you about the Candida Cleanse or whatever I'm telling you to take for a month, and then I ask you to send it to me again, and let's see how you're doing. And the saliva test, I do three of them. I do one in the beginning, one in the middle, and one when you're well. And so that's something that I do all the time with people around the world.
Okay, so I can send this to you. What's the best way for us to start this? I'll go to your website and contact you that way and to get
you
this
can
thing
go to,
started?
You can go to starseedhotline.com.
Okay.
And on the main page there, just click on Belva's picture and go to Belva's World.
Okay.
And that'll take you. You can go to the checkout and you do it. We just handle it all through the site.
Oh, okay.
So
cool.
That's all automatic there. But do make sure that you, especially with the, you know, wintertime coming on, that your vitamin A is adequate, because if you're stressed out, your vitamin A supplies go away. That's how come people often will catch a cold after they've had a lot of confusion and high stress,
right.
Big events in their lives and whatever. That'll really help. And N-acetylcysteine, which is excellent for your immune health.
What was
there's
that again?
Just, I mean, there's a ton of stuff. We could go on for hours and hours about
okay.
Staying healthy, but you can certainly email Belva.
Okay.
And continue your quest. We
Very
do have
good.
Other callers. We do have other callers waiting. So, Stan,
That's
thank
fine.
You so much. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you very
and
much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And now we're moving on to area 954. You're on the air. Hello, 954, area code. Do you have your phone on mute? We can't hear you. Area 954, prefix 605. Okay, well, I'm going to have to come back and see if we can try this again. We're going to move on. Area 614.
Hi.
Hello, you're on the air.
How are you guys? This is Brandon Bev. Hi, everyone.
Hello,
hey,
Brandon.
I love the show. I loved it. And I had the opportunity to really sink in today, unlike last week. But I was so anxious to say I was doing a lot of studying on fungus in the body. And it's real funny how you guys brought that up today. Because it was the subject me and my wife were talking about because of some foods that we had in the fridge that sit there. And what I've been studying is that there's actually a doctor from Rome, Italy. He's an oncologist, and he goes by the name of Simoncini. And he made a discovery from a lot of studies doing that cancer behaves as a fungus.
Yeah.
And in studying that, he actually found a method of actually completely healing cancer with a natural way. And what it is the use of sodium bicarbonate, which many people know as baking soda. And what he did is he actually would go inside the body and treat the cancer directly with the sodium bicarbonate in injections, as well as allowing the patient to ingest it by drinking it in water. And basically what he found out is that it's an irresistible chemical. It's a cyanide to cancer because it hits the cancer cell of alkalinity, is what he called it, which allows much more oxygen in the cancer cells than they can tolerate. And then the cancer cells cannot survive basically in the presence of high levels of oxygen. So the sodium bicarbonate basically kills the tumors. And he did a week. You can actually go on YouTube. If you YouTube sodium bicarbonate cures cancer, Dr. Simoncini, you'll notice his name is Dr. Simon. There's a video comes up where he actually shows a patient where he, before and after, where you can actually see the insides where the cancer looks like a cauliflower, almost looks like a fungus, and he describes it like that. And he said, and the way that it looks is what led him to this discovery, of using baking soda, because it's no secret that baking soda actually is antifungal. That's something that, he didn't discover, but he put the two together. And in doing that, actually, if you Google around, you'll see that American Cancer Society actually denies this, which is what I find real peculiar, because they actually started a statement on their website, which wasn't there a couple months ago when I checked. They actually deny that. They say that there is no proof that his discovery basically shows that sodium bicarbonate cures cancer. And they refute everything that he's saying. And, you know, you guys know how the health industry and all that stuff works, so we don't have to go into that. But basically, another thing I was doing some studying on is that the ancient Egyptians knew, you know, the healing qualities of sodium bicarbonate. It actually comes from a chemical by the name of natron. It's spelled N-A-T-R-O-N, and forgive me if I'm saying it wrong. But basically, it's a natural mineral, and basically found in its dissolved form in bile. And it, basically, what they would use it as is like how we use soap. They would actually bathe with baking soda. So in bathing in it, they had actually took the advantage of it to a whole nother level, you know, just by using it in their everyday use of cleaning. So, you know, by telling everybody this is it's just a natural thing. I might all the old time remedies. You know, everyone who lives in the country. If you ask them something about baking soda, they'll, oh, I cure bee stings with it. That's another thing. It's like an elixir for a lot of things. But that's this. You know, as far as with cancer and antifungals is a major thing. You know, I'm glad you guys brought this up today. But I also use it for my daughters because I learned that when children have what we call blight. It's a Trinidadian word for, you know, when they have a lot of gas. We basically make a little bit of water in the bathtub, you know, not too high, and we, you know, make it warm, and we put baking soda and cinnamon in it, and it just clears them out. Like, they'll literally just go to the bathroom in the tub. I kid you not, and they're so happy. And my, you know, my daughter, she's about to be 8 months old now. Her name is Ananda. About 3 months back, she had a lot of gas. And I just decided to give it to her, you know, in a bottle, you know, just mix a little water. Funny thing is the doctors was getting on us about giving the babies water. So if I talk to my grandma about this, she'll say, you know how they are. They get paid to keep people coming back to them. You know, they're like, you don't have to give your children water because their mixtures of food has water in it. I said, and I told the doctors, I said, 80% of our bodies is water. What makes you think that we don't need pure water? I was like, and if we need it, you know that a child needs it more because they're in the first life, you know, the first stage of their life, and they need that. And I said, and you're not going to tell me that my child doesn't need a little bit of water. I can understand if you're saying, you know, too much water. Yeah, if it gets ridiculous, but I know water is vital. You know, and having cancer as a moon sign, I stay in the shower for almost 3 hours. And my wife, not to go into detail too much, but it drives her nuts, you know, because of my, connection with water. It just clears my aura, and I'm really addicted to it. So, you know, I know the healing properties of water alone, but mixing it with baking soda, that's how we got into that subject. But another thing, just real quick, I don't want to take up anybody else's time, but I feel like I had to get it off my chest because some really useful stuff that I found out. There's a scientist, and I can't remember his name. I don't know if it was, if he was had a connection to Einstein. I just remember Einstein coming up in what I was studying. He actually found out a cure for almost all of the diseases that we have that are of a bacterial base, basically all of them that you can think of now. And the simple cure that he found was through electrification of the blood. He actually came out with a device. And he actually patented the technique for building it, but he started to give it away. You can actually Google this, and you can actually find out how to build the device yourself, you know, but not to recommend if you don't know what you're doing to go and try to electrocute yourself, you know, because you might not be able to tell, you know, about it if you do it the wrong way. But he actually found out through the electrification, actually separates, all the entities in the blood, they can't attach any longer to the things in your bloodstream that are vital to you, and it's just through that simple, just shocks of the blood. And it's in more detail than I can describe, but it's just, you know, how he came out with, this was discovered almost 20, 25 years ago, and, you know, there hasn't been anything, you know, said about it. It's just, you know, you can't go to the news basically for everything. You have to actually use your your Starseed GPS is what I and let it
Starseed
guide you.
GPS, I like that. That's a good one. And you know what? That's called. I've heard of that, Brandon, and it was called Microvolt Therapy. And I think it's Atlantean. Lavendar, do you think that's Atlantean?
Yeah, it's probably an ET-based technology.
Yes.
Okay, and I'm going to quit. I talk too much because I get excited. I enjoy talking to you guys. But one more thing. I found a really useful program for everyone's computers. If you go to Global Coherence, I have it pulled up right now, globalcoherence.com, it's Metatron technology that you can install on your computer, and it makes a bubble around your computer. There's actually free products, but there's some that they charge more for, you know, that are not free, but they really are worth it because they actually not only affect your home, there's some that even expand into your neighborhood. But the one I install on my computer I can feel the tension, the cranial pressure on my head that I didn't realize was there from using computers. I actually felt it just dissipate as soon as it installed. It installs in seconds. You don't even see it running. It doesn't do any lag on your computer for anybody that has a need for fast computers. It literally does not exist once you install it. You just feel it in the ether because it does so much change, and it's literally about 5 free products. If you want since it's globalcoherence.com, if you can't find it that way, Lavendar, I can send you the link, and basically anyone who needs it, you can send it to them. But I think it's a really, really wonderful tool, and you can tell that it was made for, people like us
It came from Lord Metatron, and I'm very familiar. I've got it in my car. I've got it in my wallet. I got the card. Lavendar and I both have the card that you carry around, and it's definitely.
Yeah, I just seen.
Yeah.
Is that card?
We're already there.
You guys are awesome.
Yeah. I've got it. I've got the yard one, the computer one, the one in my car. Our good friend Jeff Peckman, who you probably he was the first guest on our show, is partners. Yeah, he's partners in that whole deal. So.
That's amazing.
Yeah. See, a small world.
We're all on the same page.
Yeah. Yeah, that's incredible for you. Thanks, guys. I didn't mean to talk too much. I love your show.
Thanks, Brandon. It's always good to hear from you. And thank you to your members. Brandon's got a Starseed support forum as well called Starseed 411, and you've got a great membership there too, so we really appreciate your connection with us.
Oh, thank you. It's just getting started. I really, made it so that I can connect with the other sites. It's just I'm a scatterbrain, so I have so many ideas, I can't bring them all down. But my intent is to make it to where I can connect with all the other sites. It's just there's not enough room right now, so I'm making room. I made the decision whether I should just start a brand new site or stick with it, and I feel like the universe is telling me just stick with it, just stick this one through, and
that's what
I just heard.
Tighten up the focus.
And another thing I got to tell you, funny, is I've been paying this Ning membership, and I kid you not, someone randomly just paid it for me. I don't know how. We was an old account attached to it. Something just paid our site for us. So I looked at my wife and that means that, this is something good and we need to go. Because we know we didn't pay for it. It didn't come out of our account.
Huh.
And, and that just let me know that, I have some support on it. And
that's right. That's just a little demonstration. Just a little demonstration. They're not all about thunderclaps and orange balls running through the room. Sometimes the demonstration is little, but you have to have your eyes open to see them. And
I just made it because it feels good. It feels good to connect with people, and I found out that's what the love is about. Is when when we spread our love to other people, that's when we feel love. And I learned in connecting with other people like that, that's how I recognize the love that is always present. So that was my inspiration for making the site. We all go through that where we have our awakening, where we just discover this whole nother beautiful universe that's always been there, and we come out of victims, states where we feel like everything is against us instead of realizing that it's experience for us to grow through. So,
right.
I'm really appreciative of everything.
Well, Well, thanks, Brandon. Thanks for joining us, and I'm sure we will talk again soon.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Bye-bye. Well, Lavendar, we've got about 10 minutes left. I want to go back to you now. And can you give us a sneak preview of your story for next week?
No.
Oh, it's a big one then.
I'm still sorting out which direction I want to take the story. So I really, it'll be a continuation of, you know, from that point. But I'm not sure exactly how I'm going to start it or what materials I'm going to pull out of the vault to talk about. But I do want to talk about this anniversary of November 9th, which is today, which is the anniversary of when, you know, Elizabeth took the crystals to Cairo, and that whole feminine goddess movement started happening, you know, on the planet in 1981, and how that it's grown since that time, and so many women are so activated on the planet at this time. And it wasn't just me that was, you know, part of that. There were, you know, lots of other women all over the planet were connected to that at that time. Also, we have Pleiadian lineup, you know, that's coming this month. Well, next week, I guess. And so I'll probably have a lot to say about Pleiadian lineup next Tuesday, because we are, you know, on it, and I'll have additional information about what's happening in the present with Pleiadian lineup.
Okay. Okay, then. Well, I think we're going to sign off now then, and I say again thank you to Belva for joining us and for helping Starseeds. We have a big job to do, and we can't do it if we're not healthy. So that's where Belva brings in her expertise and her lifelong pursuit of health. And you have to have your health if you want to be effective. And then next week we'll have another Belvalation.
Yes.
And we'll talk about Pleiadian lineup. Oh, last-minute caller with a question. Okay, I think I know who this is from the 415 area. Hello, 415, you're on the air.
Hey, Lavendar and Ariel, it's Paul calling in. How are you?
Hi, Paul. I thought that was
you. How you doing?
Good.
Love the episode tonight, Lavendar.
I thought you would.
I mean, yeah, I you know, it just it made me realize that, you know, the first time we talked, really, it was almost 30 years ago. And my continuing realization of all of the players on this board that I've interacted with. And, you know, you always talk about getting out the cosmic Windex and trying to help me with this. I think about
right.
where this must go. You know, where does it go? It's got to be more than being a great facilitator and a bodyguard. It's got to be more than that.
Yeah, but who else could have done the kind of work that you did with two major celebrities, four major celebrities in your life, and, you know, and you look at the caliber of beings that they were, and how that you were able to, you know, be in their energy field and not get totally burned up. You know, acknowledge that you did that.
Yeah, it is fascinating to look back at. It really is. And just know all of these people that I've interacted with and hear you tell this story, and then you're out there somewhere and I'm doing my thing and you're doing your thing, and all of these events are happening, and it's just fascinating to
and we're all connected. I mean, you know it's like a tapestry. We're weaving a story with all the intricate players are, you know, showing up in different costumes.
Well, you've always talked about a tapestry with me and say, you know, put this up on a board and see where all of this goes. But when you tell the story, the word tapestry makes more sense than ever to me with all
good.
Of this.
Well, remember, you spent, you know, a lot of time with the three witches of Eastwick, so I got to take my hat off to you.
Thank you so much for sharing this incredible story. So
okay,
I
thanks,
just wanted
Paul.
To call in to support. Have a good
okay.
night.
Okay.
Thanks, Paul.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, maybe later at some other point in time you will identify the three witches of Eastwick, but for now it's going to be a mystery.
Yeah, okay.
I just want to tell you, from me to you, how proud I am of you and to know you, grateful for all the knowledge and teaching that you have given me over the years. And I've known how you have held this information for so long, and having the courage to come out, because it's not entirely, good for your health to put yourself out there.
Well,
maybe
I'll drop some weight now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Also, Ariel, I got to say, if it weren't for you, you put up the website, you've encouraged me. All this is because you put it together, or I wouldn't be doing this.
I wouldn't be doing it at all if you hadn't
jerked this filly's head and taken the reins and just led me all the way, or I wouldn't be doing it.
Well, I knew that you had to, and you needed help. So I understand. I know who you are, and I honor that. I'm just so beyond blessed.
And I also want to thank Sarah for showing up and for helping us and for her support and everything that she's doing in Colorado and all the different ones that I have contacted, you know, by phone or through sessions or whatever. I appreciate all of you, one and all.
Thank you. And Sierra, if you don't mind, I'm just going to gather all the starseed together and have them focus green light around Sierra so that her headache will go away and stay away.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah, do that.
Okay. We will join you next week, Tuesday, the same time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We look forward to having you on our forum, visit our website, and we look forward to getting to know you. Until then, this is Ariel Taylor with Lavendar and Velva saying good night.
Good night.
Good night.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.